give you a second to get there. Now, if some of you are old enough to know, this gives your age away right here. How many of you remember Red Skelton? How many of you have Red Skelton Comedy Hour? It used to be on in the late 60s, probably, maybe in the early 70s. Red Skelton did a Pledge of Allegiance one time. He talked about a teacher, and I was going to show it. Of course, with everything else that's going on today, for some reason, the Wi-Fi doesn't want to work, so we can't get the internet over here. I guess you could do mobile hotspot, but it's going to take too much time now, so anyway, we'll skip that. But Red Skelton, he talked about a teacher he said one time that he had when he was in school, and they noticed, you know, how like kind of like when we sing hymns sometimes, doesn't seem like our heart's too much in it. He said that the kids were, he said, boys, you know, I noticed y'all reciting the pledge, and it didn't seem like your heart was in it. And this teacher stood there, and he like broke down. If you, those of you, anybody remember that? The Red Skelton Pledge of Allegiance? And he said, you know, he went through each thing, you know, a pledge of allegiance, and he talked about what a pledge was, allegiance to the flag, what it stood for, one nation under God. He broke it all down. And then at that time, I think when he went to school, there was only 48 states. And at the end, he said, since that teacher had taught on that, that two states and two words were added, and the two words were under God, one nation under God was added to the pledge. And so I was going to show that to you this morning, so I didn't. Is it working? I didn't know how fast it'll be. If you can do it here within, I'll give you 30 seconds. And actually, if you look at the bottom of the video, it'll say skip to so many minutes into the thing, and that'll eliminate the introduction. And if those of you that don't know, Red Skelton, he was a comedian, an actor. He could dance, he could sing. One of the funniest guys ever, man. They had one of the best shows on TV. Don't know. We got a new computer a few weeks ago, so we're in Windows 10 and we were in 7. And so Eileen is a young trainee. Oh, he did a lot of things. He had characters. Just forget, just don't do it. We don't have time to do it. I would have already had it run. Well, you got it? Well, there it is. If you can skip, go ahead and hit it. Blow it up. But just read his lips.
Wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher. Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell. And he says, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester. And it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word. I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion, to the flag, our standard, old glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, that means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose. And that's love for country. And to the Republic. Republic. a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all, which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance: under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer, and that would be eliminated from schools too?
That was in 1969. He did that in 1969 when I was several years before that, when I was in kindergarten. And I remember we went in kindergarten and we did the Pledge of Allegiance and we sang God Bless America and we prayed in kindergarten. You know, and I remember marching in, Miss Bowden playing that piano. We had to get single file and march in, and we did that every day. And, you know, our nation's come a long way since then. But I thought I just remembered that from when I was a kid, and I wanted to share that with you. I was going to do something else. I'll cut part of this out, but I had a copy of the Declaration of Independence, and I was going to read a few things from that. But let me just say, I'll say this to start with, so y'all can read it on your own. Not a bad idea. We all know about the Declaration of Independence, but think back in your mind, when, if ever, is the last time you ever read the Declaration of Independence. It's worth reading, and you know, you can Google it up nowadays and do those things anytime you want to. But it was in July the 4th, 1776, that Congress approved the final text. There were several drafts that were written up, and they finally approved it on July 4th, 1776, which is what we celebrate on July 4th. It wasn't really signed until August 2nd, 1776. It was several days. Now, I read this one thing when I was looking up the information about this, that it was this thing called Fascinating Facts about the Declaration of Independence. And there was a lot of them. I didn't write them all down, but I wrote some out. One I had heard before, but I forgot it. You know, Thomas Jefferson, of course, he's often called the author of the Declaration of Independence. But actually, there was a committee that was formed. There was a five-person committee appointed by the Continental Congress to write it. And so it was Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, who was the oldest signer of the Declaration of Independence, John Adams, Robert Livingston, and Roger Sherman. Robert Livingston never signed the Declaration of Independence because he thought that it was too early, too soon break away from England, so he never signed it. Now, this I thought was a fascinating fact, and I remember seeing something about this, that Thomas Jefferson and John Adams both died on July 4th, 1826, on the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, or the writing of the Declaration of Independence. And both of them were on the committee, and they both died on the same day, I think within an hour of each other. I think I saw that one time on TV. Some of the most famous lines, and I didn't get to read the whole thing, read any of it, were in the Declaration of Independence, were actually inspired by the Virginia Declaration of Rights, who was written by George Mason. So our state has some history with the Declaration of Independence. I got a trivia question for you. How many of the signers were born in the United States? How many of the signers of the Declaration? Anybody know? Oh, I know. None. It wasn't the United States. The United States hadn't been formed yet. They all signed the Declaration of Independence to become the United States. That's a little trick question there. All right, that's funny, isn't it? It got me for a minute. I said, how many of the signers? Oh, it wasn't the United States yet. Okay, that's it. But anyway, you know, the American dream that we talk about was birthed by people seeking religious freedom, not freedom from religion. The liberals today try to say that's what, you know, that's what it was all about. No, it wasn't from religious freedom. It was freedom of religion. In other words, the freedom to worship God as you see fit. And so, you know, reference, I didn't get to read it, but in the Declaration of Independence, God Almighty is referenced four times. This is by the founding fathers of our nation. They understood there was a God. They referenced God four times in that Declaration of Independence. They traced their rights to freedom, not to a human government, but to the Creator and the Supreme Judge of the universe. And I just think that's something that we need to, obviously, the government's not going to tell us that. The schools aren't going to tell us that. You know, today, I mean, I don't know what they teach in schools, but anybody that, young people, they do not know who Daniel Boone is. Do you all know who Daniel Boone is? Huh? Do you guys, y'all are young people. Do you know who Daniel Boone is besides me? Do you know? Anybody? You know? See, if I see a high schooler, I know they don't know. Because Daniel Boone was an American pioneer. He was a famous pioneer in American history. Blazed the Cumberland Trail, started down in Virginia Beach all the way out, explored Kentucky, went on out. He was a colonel in the Revolutionary War. He was a judge during the time of the early part of the American history. He judged, he was set up as judge. People trusted him, and he fought the Native Americans. Can't say the Indians, right? But also he was friends with them too. He lived with some of them up in Ohio for a while. They'd taken him captive. And he entrusted them, and then when he got enough of their trust, he slipped off one day, got back to Boonesboro and fort that they had there in Kentucky, and let them know that they were about to be under attack. And so he was a pioneer in American history. Those of us in our age class, how come we know about Daniel Boone? Because we had Fess Parker. I mean, that's just, you know, we had Daniel Boone, the TV show. But, you know, that's just the way. And so I think some of our American history, it's great. It's great stuff. There's a lot of stuff in there. I don't believe a lot of it gets taught in school any longer. And seeing how we just had the 4th of July, you know, it's not. It's more than just a holiday. It's, you know, what our country people, that those guys put their life on the line when they signed that paper. Because if we had a lost, they would have been hung for signing that Declaration of Independence. And so they put their life on the line. They fought and died for it. And then people over the years have done the same thing, fighting for our country. But you got to know what you're fighting for if you're going to fight. And so I want to just give introduction, and really the message is a little bit different, but I wanted to share that with you this morning. In John chapter 8, verse 31, and the Bible says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today, and just thank you for our ability to be here. We know it's been a hectic morning already. Satan's been against us, Lord, but we thank you, Lord, that we're here. We're trusting you. We do thank you for our nation, those that saw fit to put their faith and trust in you years ago. Break free from England, start this nation, and Lord, we know they put their trust in you, Lord, and that you had your hand on the founding of this nation. I help us to understand that, Lord, that we're not separated from God, I know, Lord. And I pray today, Lord, as we preach the word, Lord, help us to understand what the truth is, understand what real freedom is, Lord. I pray for us as Christian folks, those of us that are trusting you already, Lord, that we just ask for excitement, Lord, in things concerning yourself. Lord, help us not to be defeated. Help us not to be defeated by Satan and get us discouraged, Lord. But I pray that you'd fill us with your spirit. Help us to put you first in our lives. Give us the victory over our indifference, our coldness, our deadness. Lord, I pray that you would just Let us see you with our spiritual eye, Lord, and understand that you're just as real as anything here today. Lord, you're on the throne. Lord, you've defeated sin. You've defeated death. Lord, we can have that same victory in our life today if we would trust you for it. And I pray today you speak to our hearts through this message this morning. Ask for your blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so the title of the message, I didn't really, see, I did give you a title. I didn't get to Eileen. It's just Independence Day. I just want to talk to you about a few things about freedom. The number one thing, and we talk about, is the pursuit of freedom, the pursuit of freedom. And, you know, we see here in our text, it said here, he said, "And ye shall know the truth," in verse 32, "and the truth shall make you free." So the only way, when you back up, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed." So we understand this and know about true freedom is having a relationship with Jesus Christ, being freed from sin, knowing the truth. So knowledge is involved. Knowing the truth, knowledge results in freedom. And I'll explain it to you as we go a little farther along in the message today, or give you a practical illustration to that. We think about freedom. Number one, we have to have agreement to the truth. That means that we agree that God is the source of all truth. I think that this is a topic that needs to be preached in churches today, because I'm telling you from my years of experience in pastoring a church is that there's people that have come up in this church, and I know good and well, I might not be the best preacher on earth. I'm not the most educated man on earth, but I'll know one thing. I'm going to give you the truth because I've got it in the Word of God, and everybody that comes through this church is going to get taught the truth. And I have seen people come through this church and yet turn around if they get a little bit older and they say, you know what, they don't believe that the Word of God is true, that the Word of God is the truth, and that they can't, that it's not dependable to live by, or to dependable even to be saved by. And so we have the agreement that we agree that God is the source of all truth. Now, I'm going to tell you what, there's nobody else the source of all truth. There's people out there that speak the truth at times in their life, and there's things out there that are the truth. But I'm telling you what, God is the source. I mean, if you throw a rock up in the air, it's coming back down to the earth, right? I mean, that's the truth. That's just the way, that's the law, laws of gravity that somebody discovered. I mean, it was already there, but somebody discovered it. So we agree that God is the source of all truth. When we understand that, we'll have knowledge, and then that knowledge will set us free from certain things. There's things we don't have to worry about. You know, God knows what he's talking about. He created the world. He created us. He knows. He said he formed us from the dust of the earth. I mean, everything in us is formed by God. So he's the creator. I used to get in arguments with my dad about how to put something together, you know, if it had instructions. Now, see what I do. I found out this, and I will say this. Most companies that put anything out that you have to put together, they can't write instructions worth a hoot. I mean, a lot of people tell you, like if you tell me, for instance, if I'm going down the road and you say, take the next left. If the next left is a dirt road, I'm taking it if that's what you said. If you don't want me turning on a left on a dirt road, you better say turn left on the next paved road or the next any place you can turn in. I'm going to follow your instructions explicitly. And a lot of times they write instructions, they don't have them down too good. But we would argue about Dad, say, you don't need the instructions. You don't need that bolt. You don't need that screw. I'm saying, Dad, the people that built it says you do. And you know what I mean? And you're telling me you don't. And then when he'd get it together and then it didn't work, well, it don't work exactly right. So he'd have to rig it up somehow to get it. And he'd get it to work. And he'd always say, well, it didn't work exactly right. I said, because you didn't follow the instructions. You know, we had to, that's it. Well, that's how people live their life, right? You know, life is not going all that good and everything's going and it's jumbled up. Well, I tell you why, because you don't follow the instructions on how to live your life. And so what it is, it's a turmoil for you. It is a turmoil. I'm telling you, and I understand some things about freedom. I was sharing with my wife, and I talked to Randy about it this morning. You know, every year I go out to Colorado in the fall. I used to go out there and go elk hunting. I love to go elk hunting, man. I'm telling you what, I can watch a video of somebody elk hunting and see that clear blue sky. I can smell how the woods smell when I'm watching the thing on TV. But you know, last year when I left, I just felt like I wasn't going back this year for some reason, and I didn't have no peace about it. And then I talked to Rick, and he said, oh, man, apply for this one area. So I got my hopes all up, and then we didn't draw, and he moved back. And then he said, well, I'll get a camper. But all this year, I have not been. And I was, the other, about a week ago, Sherry says, she says, what's wrong with you? She says, are you walking around in the days, man? Because I was sitting there with my mind going along. And I'll tell you what it was. God was leading me not to go. Just, I know everything that happened. I called out there to my hotel that I always get. That guy sold the thing. We used to get a three-queen bedroom for $750 for 10 nights. This other people bought it. I said, well, how much is that bedroom going to be for 10 nights? He said, $2,200. I said, good night. Is that God shutting the door or what? Either that or he's going to have to float $2,200 down. You know, but I mean, everything that happened along the step of the way, and I knew it didn't matter if nothing happened or not, because obstacles are not a good, always a good indication of God's will for your life. But everything that happened, I was thinking, you know what? I had no peace in my heart about it. I mean, I could go, I know it, and man, and I said, so I, you know what? I'm going to call Rick up and talk to him. And if he gives me some kind of out, I said, you know what? I'll know it's from God for sure. So I didn't say a word. I didn't say nothing to him about this. I called him up and said, yeah, man, you know, well, listen, did you check? I said, well, the one campground don't have good reviews. Funny story about that. But it didn't have a good review. And I said, you know, the other place, he couldn't get a hold of the owner. And we were going, yeah, I don't know. He said, well, you know, he said, man, listen, man, if you just want to take the year off, if you don't want to go this year, maybe you ought to do that. Cha-ching, there it is, right? And so I still said, I didn't tell him. I said, well, you know, we'll see. And maybe we can, he said, maybe we can plug in at this church that we go to. I said, yeah, that'd be good. But I didn't have no peace. See, this is the thing with us, folks. So am I in bondage or am I free? You know, I'm in a turmoil. And how many of us trying to, you know what the will of God is. You know what the will of God is, but you don't want to do it. And so you got this turmoil going on in your life. And you know what? One day I stand there, just get that 1,000-yard stare looking out the window. I said, I'm not going. I told Sherry, I said, I'm not going to go. I'm not led to go. And there's been two other times in my life that I was heavily impressed upon not doing something, and I did it anyway. And it turned out bad both times, really bad. And I said, I got that same feeling. I told her I'm not. And as soon as I said, you know what, I'm not going, I had a peace. Now, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss not going. I'm telling you what, when that week in September comes up, just don't call me, I'll be crying. You know, I mean, I'm going to feel bad about it. But I'll tell you what, I said, you know, I, all of a sudden, there was a peace. I didn't have, the only time I had the turmoil was when I was battling on going. Now, God didn't want me to go. And so then I get up the next morning, and I open up, I'm reading my Bible in order, and I got in Numbers, and all of a sudden I got to Balaam. You know about old Balaam? Balaam had a donkey that was smarter than he was. I'm going to preach a message on it. Remember that? Remember that story? Old Balaam wanted to go a certain way, and there was an angel with a flaming sword of God trying to stop him. And Balaam was beating the mule, and the mule turned off, and he beat the mule, and the mule went back and crushed his foot on the wall, and he was cursing the mule, and then the mule finally just fell down in the road, and he cursed the mule. The mule started talking to him, and Balaam just talked to the mule. He didn't say he was excited about it. But then God revealed it, and there was an angel in the way stopping him from going that direction. You know, and he wouldn't listen. He kept trying. But see, what happened was I listened to God, and the turmoil, it ceased. It ceased. I was at peace. I had grace about it. I feel good. I feel comfortable about it. Hey, I'm not. It's not that I'm done elk hunting. I'm just not going this year. Amen. So, I mean, that is the thing about the truth, man. It sets you free from all that turmoil and fighting and stress because God knows the way. God knows the way, and you have to understand it. Once you understand that is a truth, that God knows more than you, that God knows, leads you in the right way. Once you know that, it's no turmoil. It sets you free from that. And so, listen. I tell you what, sometimes people say this to me. They say, well, you know, I just don't know preacher. How do I know if I'm saved? Well, look, verse 31 said, if ye continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. That's pretty cut and dry, isn't it? If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Now, that's not talking about work salvation, but it's talking about the evidence of your salvation. If you continue in his word, doesn't say you'd be perfect, but it says you're going to be going that way. And see, so the result of that, listen, when we obey his word, we grow in spiritual knowledge. And as we grow in spiritual knowledge, we grow in freedom from sin. All of a sudden, we start knowing, we believe God, we trust God, and we do what God wants us to do because we know it's always best. We know that. And so, life leads to learning, and learning leads to liberty. And so then we have that. We have acceptance of the truth. When a man truly believes or agrees with the truth, he will apply that truth to his life. See, it doesn't matter if you say, I believe anything. I believe that chair will hold me, but if I don't apply it, I really never know until I really, really try that. And so when we start doing what God wants us to do, that's when we start applying. Like, once again, there I was in a turmoil. I couldn't decide. If I had went on and done what I want to do, it probably wasn't going to come out good. But I would have never known the truth that I had a liberty or a peace and a joy of you know, doing what God was leading me to do. And so listen, when we have that, John 14, 21 says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will have him, I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. You got that last little part right there? I will manifest myself unto him. See, what a powerful truth. You know, I mean, listen, when we have the commandments of God and when we keep them, and a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't know if I'm saved. God feels like he's a long way off. God, I just feel so distant from God. Let me ask you something. Are you doing God's will? Are you doing what God wants you to do? He said, if you will, if you do, he said, I'm going to manifest myself. You're going to see God. Not with your physical eye, probably, and not that that's impossible, but with your spiritual eye, you will see God. You will understand that God is real to you. And so, you know, that is a key point. Well, you know, the problem's not God. He that keepeth his commandments, he that loves God, is going to see God. That is the problem in our life right there. It's a truth. And so if we apply that truth, it reveals the knowledge to us even in a greater way. So that increases, and then we have freedom because we just know that we're in God's hands. We all say it, but do you know it? Do you know that you're in God's hands? And then we have abiding in truth there. It says, if you continue in my word. You know what the Bible, the parable about the vine and the branch. The Bible says, this is the truth. Everybody knows this. You can take a little kid out and show them this. If you got a vine and it's got a branch going off of it, what happens if you cut that branch off from the vine? It dies. I mean, anybody knows that, right? A three-year-old probably know that. It dies. That is the truth right there. So, but he said, if ye abide in me and I in you, and he uses the parable of the vine and the branch. If we stay connected to Jesus Christ, guess what? We're going to live. We're not going to shrivel up and die. That is a truth that we understand, connected to the vine. And so we have to abide in Christ. And so that's a freedom that we have. And so the second point is the person of freedom. In John 8:36, I didn't read that far down, but it says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I remember back in the hippie days, man, back in the 60s, you always see somebody running around with a sign like that. They would say they would have a sign. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. No, I didn't know what it meant. You know, a bunch of hippies smoking dope. They don't know, man. I mean, you know. There's the truth right there. It's the Son. He's the one that's going to set you free. He's the only one that set you free. The Greek word for to remember is aletheia. Aletheia, and it means not forget. And in the King James Version, that's the word that's translated truth. Not forget. So truth is something that you're going to remember, that you don't forget that. And so that to know the truth means to remember. You know, truth was proclaimed. John 1:14, the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. Full of grace and truth. That's truth proclaimed, truth personified. John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so then we see truth perceived in John 7:17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So we see obedience plus knowledge, and that's going to equal to freedom. And then the third point is the promise of freedom. The promise of freedom. How many of you remember Ann Landers? I got to give everybody the old person test. You know who Red Skelton is. You know who Ann Landers. Ann Landers wrote a column that was syndicated, so all the newspapers or all the major newspapers had it. And people would write in and they would have problems, and they would tell Ann Landers their problems, and she would give advice. Sometimes it was good. Sometimes it wasn't worth a hoot. As if you know the Lord, you know it wasn't worth a hoot. And she wrote a book later on and stated that one of the most difficult things that people struggle with in life is shame and guilt. Shame and guilt. This is one thing that people struggle with the most of all the things people did things, you know, and there was all kind of illustrations. People, you know, just let things happen or did things, something, and, you know, maybe blew up in anger. They got caught cheating. They got caught lying, and they all felt guilty and ashamed. Now, here's the thing about it. No matter how many freedoms our nation says, we have freedoms in our nation. We have it, and we have freedoms that are written in to our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. That's what they call the Bill of Rights, our rights. We have some freedoms. Now, some of them are getting taken away, especially in the area of religious freedom. But we have those Bill of Rights. But guess what your country can't do? Your country cannot give you freedom of guilt and shame. They can't pass a law that is going to take guilt away from you or shame away from you. There's only one person that can take care of that, and it's Jesus Christ. It's when you put your faith and trust in him, no matter how many freedoms our nation give, it can't give you those two things right there. Look at the nation that we live in. We live in a nation that's supposed to be free. We're free, right? But how many people are living in this world right now that have addictions? They got a ball and chain around their ankle. They can't get past dope. They can't get past alcohol. They're addicted to pornography. They've got all kind of fetishes. They got a TV show on there. I've only seen it a few times. I think it's called My Strange Addiction. Anybody ever watch that? My Strange Addiction. They got all kind of people on there got weird addictions. There was a girl on there that had an addiction. Get this, I thought to pass out a box of chalk for you. She was addicted to eating chalk. Man, just the thought of it, man. My mouth is puckered up, man. So I thought about getting a box of chalk and everybody, we break off a piece and everybody could chomp on one for a minute and see how we liked it. I mean, addicted to eating chalk. There was another girl that was addicted to eating the foam that was in the upholstery of the couch and the pillows in her house. All I can say is, I bet that hurt. I mean, you know, if it goes in, it's got to come out. I bet that was rough. Yeah, she was tearing into, she was tearing little chunks of, that's a weird addiction. And there's other weirder ones on there than that. I don't watch it. I just happened to flip through there one time and I saw the one about for chalk. That about did it for me. People are addicted to all kinds of things. There's people addicted to food. There's people addicted to all kinds of things. So if we're living in a free country, how come we got these addictions? How come we got this ball and chain that is weighing us down that we can't get rid of? Because the spiritual things, the inner person, you know, you can't legislate that freedom in a person, man. And we can't legislate to remove guilt, to remove shame. It's only Jesus Christ can do that. He gives us freedom from the penalty of sin. In other words, the free penalty of sin was paid for by him. It's not because, I heard a guy say one time, he said, he is a Christian guy, a good guy. He said to me, he had cancer. And he said, you know, I haven't prayed and asked God to take my cancer away. And I said, why? He said, because I didn't feel worthy. And I said, you're not. I said, are you saved? He said, yeah. I said, how'd you get saved? He said, well, I prayed and asked Jesus to save me. I said, you felt worthy for that? He said, no. I said, all right, well, I feel worthy for the rest of it. We're not worthy. It was grace. It was grace. That's unmerited favor of God. And so the penalty of sin, God didn't overlook it. Jesus Christ paid for it. So we got free from it. The penalty was actually paid for, dealt with. And, you know, that's a blessing right there. And then there's the freedom from the power of sin. In Romans 6, 16 through 18 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. That's pretty simple, right? Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. In other words, listen, man, if you're a servant to sin, I'm going to tell you who your master is. It's Satan. And if you've yielded yourself to Jesus Christ, then you're no longer a servant of sin. Now that's your master. You're his servant right there. You know, who do you obey? The world, the flesh, the devil, or God through his word? I mean, really, we got to get, this is the thing in Christianity today. We have got to get to the point where our life is dictated by God. This is what it's all about. It doesn't do you guys any good to sit here and listen to me preach the word of God if you won't apply it to your life, if you won't. And people are like less and less and less in the world, are less and less applying the word of God to their life. It's all circumstantial or, dictated by the moment, whether they decide whether they're going to believe God or not or trust God or not or how it's going to, the outcome might be figured. Instead of just saying, you know what, you can sit. And that is, like I said in my illustration earlier, that is a turmoil. It's a prison. It's awful living that way. It's just say, God, here it is. I'm going to give it all to you. What? You know what? I'm going to serve you. I don't care what. And get the victory over just being flat out lazy. You know what? Get excited. I mean, I think it's exciting. You know what? I told them, I preached a couple Sunday nights ago, and when I preached, and it was about the sleep at the wheel, the sleep in church, and how to get the victory over sleeping. And one of the points is this, and we all get that way. I get that way. This is the deal right here. Is get around. One of the cures was get around somebody else that's excited about the things of God. And man, what a blessing that is. Man, I mean, to get around somebody, if you can find somebody that's fired up about God. I was telling you what a blessing. I called Brother Dwayne Dillard. He called me up the other day. He's coming down to Bible camp on Thursday night, going to preach to us down there at the campfire and everything. Brother Dwayne's excited. He's excited about what God's doing, man. And I get around him about 5 minutes, man, and I'm excited. Because I get, you know what, I get dragged down, beat down, man. I mean, we got a van full of hot yellow jackets. The battery won't start. The kids don't have their applications. We got a bunch of other problems. You ain't going to go in. I mean, you know, you get all drugged down, and it's just like, oh, man, you know, let's see. But you get around somebody that's excited about the things of God, you know. Maybe we can't find anybody. I'm just hoping. I hope I can be excited enough to help you get excited about the things of God. I want to do that. And listen, if you don't know anybody, then you be the one. You know, you be the one. Let's get excited about God, man. Be excited about the things of God. Just don't get so cut and dried, set down in your habits that you can't do anything else for God. You know, because I know, listen, I'm going to tell it like it is. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm getting so old now, I just tell it like it is. But I'm going to tell you what, there's some of you sitting in here today. You're not coming back to church tonight. It doesn't matter what happens. You're not coming. You've already settled. Don't get so set in that routine that you can't get put God in your life first. You know, I'm not coming on Wednesday night. I'm not coming back. I'm not coming to Sunday school. We got it all figured out. We're in that same old rut and routine in our life, and it's monotonous as all get out, and you're not set free because you're just bound by that routine you've done chiseled in that brain of yours right there. Listen, man, let's get excited about the things of God. Get on fire about the things of God. Hey, try this one. Try winning somebody to Christ this week. Man, that's what God put us on this earth to do. You're never going to be excited about it. You got somebody. You know somebody that's lost in your family. You know somebody that's lost in this world, right? Everybody knows somebody's lost? If you don't know anybody, come see me. I'll point you in the right direction. Huh? And find somebody and tell them about Jesus Christ. I'm not saying they're going to get saved, but tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Get excited about it. Man, we're walking around all moping around but defeated looking. We can't get anybody excited about the things of God. Listen, man, we got the truth. The truth. Man, you know, when you know the truth, there's a certain peace that just comes over because you know it's the truth. You know what it is, right? You know that. Apart from Jesus Christ, you don't have the power to obey Him. Mm-mm. You don't have the power. You have to have the Holy Spirit of God to obey Him. You don't have the power to repent. You don't have the power to serve God because you'll serve the flesh and the devil. It was a famous psychiatrist, Carl Menninger, and he said this. He said if he could convince the patients in a psychiatric hospital that their sins were forgiven, 75% of them would walk out the next day. If he could convince them. And this is what I'm going to tell you what. This is what I see. I'm talking about the Christians. We say we believe God and we say we believe the Word of God and yet continue living on in sin. Don't tell me you believe. No, don't tell me that you believe because some of the sins, the Bible says, if you look in Revelation and find out who's in hell, you know, the Bible says all fornicators. How many's all? I mean, all of them, right? All fornicators are going to be in hell. And then you're going to go out and live in sin and say that I believe that the Word of God is true? No, you don't believe it. If you really believed it, You would heed it. I believe the Lord's coming back. I believe the Lord's coming back soon. But if you really believed it, I told him we were talking in Sunday school today, how would you live differently if you knew your time on earth was very limited? Would you live your life a little bit different? And I told the Sunday school class, and Brian was teaching, I was just ad-libbing in there. Let me tell you something, your time is very limited. Everybody's time here is limited. How long are you going to live? You don't know. You don't know. I don't care what age you are. You don't know. We go down there to Bible camp this year. Over the years, been going there 18 years. There was kids that didn't come back the next year because they were killed in a car accident. Killed one girl got killed because they were cleaning out an old trailer. Had the mice, that thing you get from mice urine and that. They died. She died, a teenage girl. The next year, she wasn't there. You don't know. Your time is very limited. Listen, we can have forgiveness of sin, victory over. We can have freedom, the freedom that Jesus Christ talks about. And then we have freedom from the presence of sin. Listen, sin's always going to be here while we're here on earth. That's a fact. But we have the Word of God. Listen, I'm going to tell you what, we need the Word of God. We have His Spirit, and we need His Spirit. We have His church. And I'm going to tell you something right now about your church. Don't think you don't need your church. You need your church. We need to be around each other. Like I said, some people gathered up and getting on fire for God and get excited. You need that. You do. I need you. I'm going to tell you what, I need you. There is nothing more depressing to me to come into church on Sunday morning and or Sunday night and just a handful of people. Man, we had former Pastor Frank here Wednesday night, tried to encourage everybody to come out. The crowd wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. No, former pastor that was here, we'll get him on Wednesday night, just right before the 4th of July. All he's going to do is sing to us. He didn't even have to listen to me preach, man. Couldn't get people to come out. That's a depressing, and I'm supposed to be excited? Huh? I have to pray to God for my excitement because I know people aren't going to give it to me. Listen, I mean, why, you know, it's exciting, man, when we get to get together, man, and don't start laying out and already planning and telling me, I just don't come because I'm lazy. Well, good grief. You know, we're not doing calisthenics, you know. We're just sitting in the air-conditioned seat. Amen. I mean, listen, that's it. And so, listen, we need our church. You need the church. I need you just as much if you need me. I need you. We need His people. We need to be around God's people. That's a fact. The Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God, which we should. The Bible does tell us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, right? He tells us to continue. See what it said? If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. That's free from it all right there. The only escape is Jesus Christ. That's it. Without Jesus Christ, you're going to be in a prison of your own mind. You're going to be in a prison of sin. You're going to be in a prisoner of Satan. Without Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. Have you really trusted Him for your salvation? Have you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life? You have a personal, everyday relationship with Christ? Really? I mean, really? Huh? I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know, how many of you in the Word of God every day like you ought to be? How many of you have a prayer life that's really a prayer life? I mean, an everyday relationship. That's it. You can have it. Listen, and I'll tell you what, you can't do it. And all I'm telling you this for is, I'm not browbeating you down because you don't. Because I'm showing you in your strength, you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't have a prayer life and you can't be faithful and you can't serve God in your own strength. It's when your salvation's real and the presence of the Holy Spirit's in your heart, you can live the victorious life. Is that the problem? Let's all stand. Paul's going to come lead us. If you need to come to the altar, you come. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Our hymn of invitation is hymn number 308, I Surrender All, hymn 308.